From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, November 24th, 2025. Classes were canceled today and will be again tomorrow in Rockland after a 12-year-old student was struck and killed by a school bus Friday afternoon. Police say the student was rushed to the hospital and then life-flighted to Maine Medical Center, but later succumbed to their injuries. RSU 13 Superintendent John McDonald sent a letter to families yesterday and said that while classes are canceled, two schools will be open for students, staff, and families to receive support and counseling. Meantime, Rockland police say the bus driver, Jeffrey Colburn, has been placed on administrative leave. He's been a district employee for 9 years. As first reported by the Midcoast Villager, Colburn was convicted of operating under the influence in 2015. And this past October, while operating a school bus, he struck a car, totaling the vehicle. Friday's fatal incident remains under investigation, and the Rockland police are working with the Knox County District Attorney's Office and the Maine State Police. The largest labor union for state employees is accusing the Mills administration of what it says is bad faith bargaining in the latest contract negotiations. The current 2-year contract expired in June, and as Kevin Miller reports, the union wants the Maine Labor Relations Board to order the administration to return to the bargaining table.
In a formal complaint filed Monday, the Maine State Employees Association, Service Employees International Union, claims the Mills administration prematurely cut off negotiations on a host of outstanding issues. The administration officially declared an impasse in late September and tried to move toward mediation. But Mark Brunton, president of the MSEA-SEIU Local 1989, accused the administration of repeatedly dragging out negotiations.
And after a year of trying to get the administration to negotiate in good faith for our contracts, last month, the administration chose to declare this premature impasse without even bothering to discuss a third of the proposals that we've put forward. And they simply refused to listen to our members and respond to their concerns.
This is the 7th complaint in 5 years filed by the union, which represents about 11,000 state employees. Sharon Huntley with the Maine Department of Administrative and Financial Services said the administration was surprised by the complaint because the parties were expected to discuss issues on Tuesday. Huntley said average wages of state employees have increased 24% since Governor Janet Mills took office in 2019, amounting to more than $1 billion in additional compensation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The city of Lewiston selected Carly Conley to serve as its next chief of police. As Michael Livingston reports, Conley said her leadership would emphasize prevention, intervention, and community support.
Carly Conley joined the Lewiston Police Department in 2001 as a patrol officer and rose through the ranks to lieutenant. She's now the first woman to lead the department in its 165-year history. At public meetings during the process, residents called for transparency and friendly community engagement, especially with youth and immigrant groups. Conley says she'll meet those demands.
The police cannot do it alone, and the community cannot rely on law enforcement alone. I believe our greatest progress will come when we walk the same path, share the same values, and invest in each other's success.
Conley replaces David St. Pierre, who retired from the force in September and is now nominated to serve as the U.S. Marshal for Maine. Two listening sessions are planned for December and January, where the public can share comments and ideas with the new police chief. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Michael Livingston.
The Maine Turnpike Authority expects record-breaking Thanksgiving traffic, but Turnpike Authority spokeswoman Rebecca Grover says the weather, rather than the number of drivers on the road, may pose the biggest challenge.
There may be some showers and some rain on Wednesday, and that is the busiest day. So just ask folks to plan ahead. If you want to avoid the crowds, the best time to travel would be first thing in the morning.
The National Weather Service says there may be some freezing rain Wednesday in the Moosehead and southern Aroostook County regions. As for gas prices, Gas Buddy reports the average price is around $3 a gallon, just about the same as last year. In just a few weeks, enhanced premium tax credits that make health insurance on the individual and small group markets more affordable for 54,000 Mainers will expire. At a roundtable in South Portland this morning, Governor Janet Mills, Congresswoman Shelley Pingree, and several consumers sounded the alarm and urged bipartisan federal action to extend the subsidies. Patty White has more.
Sitting around a table at Greater Portland Health, consumers swap stories and numbers. Because without enhanced premium tax credits, they're facing exponential increases in their premiums next year. Some said they'll have to pay tens of thousands of dollars. Ocean Ride says his premiums will more than double to $29,000 a year.
And I'm on, my family is on one of the lowest plans possible.
Ride is a software developer in Topsom. He says the Affordable Care Act made it possible for him to start his business, and he believes healthcare should be affordable for everyone.
We should be able to go through life not worrying about bankruptcy, not worrying about financial disaster if we get sick.
Bethany Allen is facing a roughly $500 a month increase in premiums next year for her family. She owns Harvest Tide Organics in Bodenham. She also credits the ACA for making it possible to own her farm business. Going without insurance, she says, is not an option.
I just know that life is really fragile. These things can change in a second. An arm can get broken in like the turn of a head, you know, and then farming is also very unpredictable. Our whole livelihood relies on us being able to do stuff with our bodies. And if you're unwell, we just can't even do our jobs. So we just, healthcare is really important.
This is the face of Maine. This is the face of the Maine economy.
Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree says Maine's economy will suffer if the enhanced premium tax credits aren't renewed by the end of the year. And it won't just affect the consumers who rely on them, she says.
We are really on a catastrophic cliff here that is impacting individual families, but will impact our whole state and our whole nation.
Because when people drop out of the health insurance market, she says, uncompensated care goes up. That strains providers who often have to pass those increased costs on to other consumers. State officials say 2,000 Mainers have already canceled coverage for next year. Governor Janet Mills is urging Congress to take immediate action. At the roundtable, she recalled past bipartisan efforts that made meaningful improvements for Americans, from establishing Social Security to the interstate highway system to Medicare.
And yet today, while millions of Americans are unable to afford basic life-saving health care, a universal need that requires federal action, the federal government does nothing.
Some Republican lawmakers are proposing alternatives to the enhanced premium tax credits. Congresswoman Pingree says she's open to discussing other ideas. But in the near term, she says, the enhanced subsidies should be extended for at least 2 years. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
In the Rangeley Lakes region of western Maine, an ambitious effort is underway to conserve tens of thousands of acres in historic Wabanaki territory. For centuries, these have been prized hunting and fishing grounds, home to bear, lynx, deer, and moose, and one of the last strongholds of native brook trout in the country. But with a recent construction boom, forest fragmentation, and rising temperatures, woods and wildlife are under threat. And as Susan Sharon reports, the McGalloway Conservation Initiative aims to safeguard both while also protecting public access to the region.
It's mid-October as angler and fishing guide Alex Case navigates his pickup truck along logging roads in the woods of western Maine, not far from the northern New Hampshire border. He's showing me highlights of the McGalloway Project, nearly 80,000 acres of woods and waters that four organizations are working together to conserve.
The area really speaks for itself when you get there. It's something that's uniquely special in the way that it looks and the way that it feels.
We get out of the truck and join some other project partners for a short walk through the woods to the edge of the upper McGalloway. It's moose hunting season. The leaves have turned orange and gold, but Case still has fishing on his mind. For two decades, he worked in the restaurant business, and then about 13 years ago, he became a fishing guide. He moved to Rangeley in part, he says, because of the cold, swift-moving waters of the McGalloway River. That's how much he loves this place and why he's passionate about keeping it intact.
When you come here, you lose sight of all the other things that are going on in the world. You focus more on the moment. You don't focus on tomorrow. You don't focus on yesterday. You focus on today. And so oftentimes I feel like it is like church out here. because it's just so peaceful.
The groups have until the end of May to raise $62 million for a conservation easement. Right now, they're a little over halfway to the goal. But if they're successful, they'll have secured the final parcel on a remote and wild landscape of more than 500,000 connected acres that have previously been conserved. The project includes woodlands, 170 miles of rivers and streams, and more than 2,400 acres of lakes and wetlands. As part of the Appalachian Mountain Range, this region is a global conservation priority for the Nature Conservancy because of its biodiversity and resilience in the face of a warming climate. Abby King is with the group's main chapter.
The Nature Conservancy and all the groups we're working with, what we're trying to do is to keep Maine's forests forest. If we lose out on our forests, we lose our livelihoods and our culture, as well as a place for plants and animals to live.
Bayroot LLC, an investment company controlled by Yale University, owns the land, which is managed for timber. Under the terms of the easement, more than 60,000 acres would continue to be harvested, but Jake Metzler of the Forest Society of Maine says it will be done sustainably. As the holder of the easement, he says his group will ensure that the amount of wood that's cut does not exceed what's growing. Plans also call for 100-foot-wide forest buffers around lakes, rivers, and streams to benefit cold water fish.
Keeping forest cover around the watershed and directly over the streams keeps the water temperature cooler and allows that cold water to persist, which is necessary for the brook trout.
The deal to conserve the McGalloway also sets aside just over 11,000 acres that won't be cut or managed. Instead, John Leibowitz of Northeast Wilderness Trust says his group will own it and keep it forever wild as an ecological reserve.
It's really important for wildlife. It's really important for ecological processes to continue.
Leibowitz says the wilderness parcel is adjacent to another wilderness preserve just across the New Hampshire border. Combined, they will total 25,000 acres.
And it's the amount of land that scientists have said can withstand natural disturbances like pest outbreaks and wind events. And so when you're reaching that scale, it's a really special opportunity.
Rangeley may be best known for fly fishing, but it's also a popular place for hunting, bird watching, and snowmobiling. And Molly Shaw of Rangeley Lakes Heritage Trust says public access for those activities will continue once the land is conserved.
We're fortunate to have access in all parts of the state of Maine, but I think maybe what people don't realize is that access is under threat. You know, a private landowner could come in and shut down what's currently available.
Or develop it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why angler and guide Alex Case is so committed to sealing the McGalloway deal. He says it's got something beneficial for everyone.
We need to get a lot of people out here. It would do them a world of good. And, you know, nobody wants to talk politics when you're out here, because when you look at all this and what nature is giving us, I feel appreciative. That's what it does to me.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, celiac and gluten-free living. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.